Now, with the election of Trump in the US and Brexit and even Marie Le Pen in Europe, do you worry that the Western world is becoming more and more colder to refugees?
I think, yes, there is a move. There's the right-wing move and a conservative move where the political views on refugees and asylum seekers is extremely divisive. But this is not a new phenomenon. We have had Indian migrants who have moved to East Africa, to South Africa, to Fiji, to Guyana for, you know, centuries. You know, there's the third generation there in these countries. You know, we've had people who have moved for better opportunities. We've had movement of people after the Second World War. We've had movement of people during the Vietnam War in the Balkans. So it has happened in waves throughout centuries and is not a new phenomenon. But the political views in the last 3 or 4 years have been extremely divisive, have been extremely conservative, with a move towards protectionism and protecting the people within the borders. But most migrants and refugees, especially refugees and asylum seekers, wouldn't want to move from their countries if there was no war in their countries and lack of absolute economic opportunities in their countries. So it's a really difficult and precarious situation and conditions that they move in globally today. You know?
Your own research has looked into how universities can help accommodate refugees in their student cohort. What are the challenges universities and refugees face in secondary education?
Yes. I've been undertaking refugee and migrant research since 2005 and been involved with a number of projects. The most recent projects that I've concluded are two projects. One project is looking at refugee student pathways into higher education, either at TAFE or at universities. And they face significant challenges when they actually come into a university or a higher education environment, the English language being one, navigating the university systems, the second one, learning about how to attend tutorials, write essays, look at databases, you know, and at the same time, not being possibly included within the wider debate or wider university activities. They often find themselves isolated in that setup. So there are programs that are there to support young refugees or refugee young adults who are coming into universities. The second project that I'm involved with is a Photo Voice project with refugee women, and where refugee women were provided with cameras to capture their settlement experiences in Western Australia. So powerful images were captured by these women of their family, of their environment, of their thoughts. And there's a traveling exhibition around, going around Australia and even overseas. But at present, this week, it's at the State Library of Western Australia. And those narratives or the images that those pictures portray are quite powerful, you know, and actually have been very well received by the wider community in Western Australia.
Right. Well, kind of going back, so ever since the Tampa affair back in 2001, where the Howard government refused permission for the Norwegian freighter MV Tampa, which was carrying over 400 refugees to enter Australia, you could say that was kind of like the start of our you know, our history of not really helping refugees. Do you think the government's action is emblemic of the Australian population's lack of empathy towards refugees?
Not really, because what happens is Australia does have a humanitarian visa category. So we do take in 2017, we took in 16,250 refugees on the humanitarian visa. This is expected to increase to about 18,750 in 2018 or 2019. What we are talking about is asylum seekers who come by boat. And it's the harsh measures or the punitive measures that are taken by the Australian government against those who come by boat. So these are taken into asylum detention. And since 2001, we have the offshore detention policy. And this, I think, is a problematic policy because actually we're using vulnerable countries like Nauru, PNG, Cambodia, to actually house the asylum seekers who come to Australia just because we don't have land borders. If we had porous land borders, refugees come in. You know, the largest refugee hosting nations are Kenya, Uganda, Jordan, Pakistan, Iran. They have housed Afghan refugees, Palestinian refugees, South Sudan refugees, Somali refugees for decades, because people just come across the borders. There are land borders. The countries are at protracted conflict. People need safety and security, and that's why they choose a different route, not because they want to. You know, it's because their countries have are decimated by civil strife and conflict.
How could an ordinary Australian help refugees, not just during Refugee Week, but, you know, throughout the year?
I mean, Refugee Week is just to increase awareness, but I think you can help refugees in many ways. We have Amnesty International pockets all across Australia, and they do a lot of advocacy work. We have the humanitarian group in Western Australia, and there are groups like that that really support the legal right to seek asylum of those refugees who are in the community here and seeking to have their appeals heard. We have other awareness programs. The refugees that I work with or I do research with are those who already have their humanitarian visa. But often they need mentors to support them navigate the Australian system. You know? And if you can be a refugee mentor, that'll be wonderful. We are trying to start a mentoring program specifically targeting refugee young people or refugee students at universities, so that you know there's someone that they could approach and talk to. We are starting a mentoring program with a community organization so that we can work with refugee women over the next 2 years to help them be employed, but understand systems here, the online systems, how to write a CV, a cover letter, attend interviews. But it's a concerted effort over a larger period of time. So I think people individually can do a lot of things. They can do advocacy, they can be mentors. If they have higher level skills, if they are lawyers, then they can work with like the humanitarian group in writing submissions, appeal submissions. If they are people who have a car and can drive, they can take refugees to their appointments or asylum seekers to their appointments. So I think the wider community can help. There are organizations that teach English, and you can support by spending a few hours a week, maybe 2 to 3 hours twice a week, to talk to a small group of refugees to help them improve their conversational English or working English. You know? So there are many ways in which people can help. And I find that as people become aware, they want to know how they can help, because at some of the libraries where the exhibition was, some of the people came up to the desk and said, "We've seen the exhibition, how can we help?" You know, so that was a good thing. Yeah.
And that's all the time we've got for. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Thank you. That was Professor Jaya Dantas of Macquarie University chatting to us about Refugee Week and the issues facing asylum seekers here in Australia.